Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. I've been really looking forward to today because finally I have a chance to talk with you and with Erica Janik about Erica's book. She's written this wonderful book about the colorful life of women detectives, both in fact and in fiction. She's, I mentioned earlier, is an award-winning author, 6 books. She's a historian. She's an executive producer of Wisconsin Life at Wisconsin Public Radio. And this book takes a look at some of many of the women, the actual detectives, and then many of the women in fiction that I love and have enjoyed reading forever. So we'll talk about that with her today, and certainly we'll be wanting to hearing from you about your favorite lady detectives, perhaps, or what maybe got you interested in mysteries, or do you like how women detectives are portrayed in TV and in movies? Well, we can talk about all that. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Erica Janik, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's so much fun to, you know, I tell you, when I saw this, I saw that what you were doing and with a great topic in my mind, women detectives. And I thought, oh, that is such a great idea. How did that happen?
Yeah, good question. The same way lots of things that I end up writing about happen is I'm just really curious about everything. And so this kind of grew out of, I had run across an advertisement for a woman who ran her own private detective agency around a turn of the 20th century in Chicago. And I saw her ad, Cora Strayer was her name. And I was like, who is this woman running her own private detective agency? So I just started reading more about her. She was from Indiana and she had moved to Chicago, opened her own agency, had both male and female detectives in her employ, and they must have done so well that she actually opened a second agency in St.
Wow.
Louis that only employed female detectives. And a lot of the cases that she took on, she really marketed herself to other women. So mm-hmm. she was really looking at philandering husbands and things like that. A big
okay.
market for that. So I was just really curious because one of the things I think that always really interests me in a lot of the work that I do is what I kind of call women in unexpected places. I mm-hmm. was surprised to find a woman running her own private detective agency, and I just wanted to know more. And then it just went down a big rabbit hole from there.
Well, I actually had a friend, a woman friend who has her own detective agency, and actually her husband then went to work for her. And
interesting.
So, I've had some experience with it, but I wondered if it was because of your interest in women detective shows, books about women detectives. Is that something you've enjoyed over time?
Definitely. I read a lot of my mom's books, actually, as I was growing up. You know, she had all of her Nancy Drew books, and I actually really loved Trixie Belden. She was one of my favorites, and I read Cherry Ames. These books were just lying around the house, and so I would read them, and I really enjoyed them. And it was always something that we would watch on television. You know, my dad introduced me to Sherlock Holmes pretty early on. We would mm-hmm. watch the Basil Rathbone
yeah.
movies, and I just loved those. And so it always felt like mystery and detectives were something that were just a part of my life and something that I'd always enjoyed. And so I think it was, you know, kind of serendipity that I ended up doing this by finding that advertisement. But it also drew on a lot of things that I'd long been interested in.
Yeah. And there's so many good, you know, P.D. James, Sue Grafton,
Sarah Paretsky,
obviously going back earlier, Agatha Christie, Patricia Cornwell. I've read most of the books of all of those women, and they're wonderful books, many of them.
Absolutely. You know, I think there's a long history of women kind of writing these detective mystery stories. But I think it's kind of funny that when I think when people think about detectives, they usually think about a male detective.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, probably the first detective that people think of is, well, the one I just mentioned, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
But there's women that had actually been writing kind of the precursors of detective novels in the 18th century. They were writing what were known as Gothic stories that had kind of dark elements, kind of mysterious things happening. And then you find women also writing sensation novels in the early 19th century. So women have been very actively writing and active in this kind of strain of writing for centuries. And they were writing these stories. They were also creating female sleuths. You find them appearing pretty early on in the history of detective stories.
Well, and I think many of the women, the actual detectives that you, from early on, I mean, you could do a book. You could write a book on some of them.
Absolutely.
Kate Warren, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So
as an example.
Yeah. So Kate Warren is actually a real detective. She's the first known private eye. That doesn't mean that there weren't others, though. And she has a fascinating story, what little is actually known about her. She was working for Alan Pinkerton, who is a name people might be familiar with. Yeah. He ran the Pinkerton private eye agency out of Chicago. And in the 1850s, he was just, you know, sitting in his office, and this woman came in and said she was looking for a job, and he thought she was looking for maybe a secretarial position, some kind of clerical thing, and she said, no, no, I want to be a detective. And he was like, what?
What? Say that again?
So, but he agreed to hear her out, and she said she was a young widow. She was maybe 23, 24 years old, and she just said that she thought she would be a good detective. And Pinkerton, though he had no females on staff and he didn't know of any female detectives, decided that, sure, why not? Let's take her on.
And she was involved in a lot of pretty wild and crazy.
Absolutely.
Just the one as an aside, which I'm sure many people will mention to you in future interviews, I'm sure. This whole business about Abraham Lincoln and helping to foil a plot to assassinate him.
That's right. So there was, as Lincoln was going to Washington to take office, there were rumors that he was going to be assassinated before he could even get to the White House. And Pinkerton had heard some of these rumors, and so some of his agents were kind of hanging around Washington trying to figure out what was exactly going on. And Kate Warren, she dressed as a fine Southern lady, and she was hanging out in all of these kind of Confederate circles, and she gathered enough information to learn that it did seem like there was a plot against Lincoln's life. And so she and Pinkerton worked together to help get Lincoln safely from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. And she basically disguised Lincoln as her invalid brother, and the two of them traveled on a train. And so he arrived in D.C. safely. And disguises were often a thing that she did. She would dress up as somebody to try to get information or to protect somebody.
And she was obviously not the only person out there doing that, a woman out there doing that work. There eventually became a lot. What kind of woman, what kind of roles did they play?
Well, so some of the early female detectives, I think Kate Warren had kind of an exciting life. And that's kind of true for lots of women that end up working in these private detective agencies. Women that managed to get jobs for city police forces usually had kind of mothering roles. Mm-hmm. They were basically protecting other women and children. And that's the argument that they made to police forces of why they should be allowed to join the force. They said that there were all of these women out on the street that needed protection. There were children that were, you know, maybe had run away or were being exploited, and that we were going to protect them. And so the women that were really working in these early kind of detection roles were really just kind of serving more of a protective function, in the sense of, you know, if a child had run away, they would track them down and return mm-hmm. them to their parents. Okay. And they were protecting a lot of women from being brought into prostitution. That was a big fear, that a lot of women would be kind of taken by these what they called white slavers at the time, and sold into prostitution. And so a lot of these early women were doing that. It's really the women that are working for these private detective agencies, the way that Kate Warren are, that have these kind of more exciting cases.
And the more exciting cases were, and they faced some discrimination, as you write about a little bit.
They did. They were not really welcome in city police forces. You know, really any police force that hired a woman did so only under duress and extensive lobbying on the part of women reformers, because women started lobbying for female officers in the early 19th century, and they just didn't let up. And so finally, a lot of police forces would give in and hire women. Often the police forces didn't actually pay these women. Women's groups would raise money to pay their salary because the city just didn't really, didn't think it was a great idea. And that women who even did manage to join these forces, you know, they faced a lot of hostility from male officers who didn't think that they were fit for the job. Yeah. And that's kind of a theme that continues for decades. There's all of these questions about whether women are actually physically able to do the job of police work.
Our guest today, Erica Janik, has a new book out. It's called Pistols and Petticoats, 175 Years of Lady Detectives in Fact and Fiction, published by Beacon Press. Great to have her along. You may have a question, comments, or maybe a recommendation to share. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Now let's take a call. Ann and Madison, thanks for calling.
Hi, well, this is a great topic. I wanted to put in a plug. You mentioned her, but for Sarah Paretsky, who is, she's actually from Kansas originally, but she moved to Chicago. She's been there for ages. And her latest one is Brushback, which I read when I was in the hospital. And I thought it was absolutely, it kept my mind off everything that was going on.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She has a sense of humor. She's very independent, and she covers social issues, discrimination against women, against blacks, against all kinds of people, in a very good way. She's not a social, she doesn't have a social worker's attitude. She is definitely hard-nosed, and she gets herself into situations. She works by herself, or, you know, V.I. Warshawski is her.
Yep.
Yeah, she's the protagonist, and she's, of course, the protagonist of all of Paretsky's books, and she has the same cast of, or, you know, some of the same cast of characters in all her books, so you have a feeling of continuity. And she's also dealt with things like World War II, and I mean, she's just fabulous. And I think she has a PhD from the University of Chicago. So, you know, but she presents her heroine, her protagonist, as the daughter of a police, I don't know, you know, maybe detective who's of Polish, you know, background.
Yep.
She's really, really fun. And especially women should really enjoy her, especially if they liked Nancy Drew when they were kids and, you know, peeled wallpaper off.
Oh, Anne, thank you. And, you know, it is a lot of fun reading her.
Absolutely. I really love Sarah Paretsky. And I think the caller brought up a lot of good points about these kind of new female detectives that came about in the 1970s, early 1980s, of which Warshawski is one of them, as well as Kinsey Millhone, Sharon McCone. You know, their authors were people that had grown up reading Nancy Drew, but also reading kind of the hard-boiled novels of the 1940s, 1930s, you know, like Raymond Chandler. And, you know, they're reading these stories and they're like, but there's not really any women like this. You know, the women that appear in those kind of hard-boiled stories from the 30s and 40s, the only role they could really play was as this kind of sexual vixen, or they were bad. There weren't women that were smart and intelligent and solving these crimes. And so you find a lot of women really beginning in the 1970s and continuing to this day of kind of creating these smart, intelligent women that bear a lot in common with those hard-boiled men. And I think that Sarah Paretsky is definitely one of those people that has done that.
Definitely. And Sue Grafton, too. And with Kinsey Millhone, as you say, I've enjoyed reading her books for a long time. P.D. James, here we are all talking about the fiction part of this, but P.D. James had a broader cast of, and I really didn't know P.D. James was a female until I went to Trinidad at the for a year. I spent a year teaching at the University of the West Indies in the 80s, and I went to the used bookstore, and I bought 100 books.
Oh my goodness.
I bought 55, I think I bought, because I was going to read a book a week. And I bought, and it's all PDJs, and I went to the mystery, and so I grabbed those books. I've got to find some more of those books. And then I finally realized, P.D. James is a female mystery writer, and really good one.
Absolutely. You know, I think she was kind of... You kind of fit right along there. She, I think, went partly by her initials so that you wouldn't automatically typecast her by thinking that this is a female writer. She was writing at a time, I mean, she only just recently died, but she was kind of, some of her first books came out before that kind of revolution in female detectives that starts to happen in the 1970s. I mean, she had Cordelia
right.
Gray,
yeah.
who is a hard-boiled writer, though in a more kind of, or a detective, but in a more rural-ish setting yeah. than some of these other hard-boiled women. But I still think that, you know, there is a lot of, it's a hard road for a lot of female writers, even in the detective genre. You know, there's even a group, Sisters in Crime, that's kind of a support group for women that write mystery novels, because it's hard to get reviews, it's hard to get attention, even though clearly there's a long history of women writing these stories and women reading these stories.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break here. Erica Janik, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer, as we talk about this wonderful book, Pistols and Petticoats, 175 Years of Lady Detectives in Fact and Fiction, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at women detectives in fact and fiction today with Erica Janik. Great to have her along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have, every one of our lines is filled, so we'll take some calls. By the way, you can also post a comment on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. Jim in Round Lake, Illinois, you are up. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. I maybe grew up in the 50s and 60s with was it the 77 Sunset Strip?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And F.M. Zibulus Jr.
Yeah.
And guess what? His daughter became a detective on air there with Remington Steele.
That's exactly right. And I wonder. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, you write about her in your book.
Yeah, that she's the actual detective and Remington Steele is the faker, and
yeah.
she, you know, tries to get a job or tries to become a detective, and no one will hire her because she's a woman, and so she comes up with that fictional character of Remington Steele, and then Pierce Brosnan, he comes and says that he is Remington Steele. And, you know, fortunately they get along and they manage to carry on. But, you know, she is constantly feeling like irritated that everyone just assumes that he's the detective.
Yeah, it's a great set. Thanks, Jim, for that reminder. I remember watching that, as a matter of fact.
I do too.
Margaret in Elgin, Illinois. Hi, thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking the call. Love your program, all of them. And I wanted to mention Lisa Scottolini, who writes about Italian-Americans in Philadelphia. And she has Mary D'Annunzio as an all-woman detective agency. And the family tie-ins and the history, there's a lot about World War II and the internment of Italian-Americans, and there's humor in it. And sassiness, she's a good writer. And can I tell you some more?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, Dana Stabenow, who does Kate, who is an Aleut Native American in Alaska, is a fantastic, tough detective. I really like her. And again, the courage, and she never backs off, no matter how hurt she gets. And another one, I really like Marcia Muller and Sharon McCone also, and she writes about San Francisco so much, and she goes back into history too, to base mysteries and how they affect the present, And then finally, Old Mrs. Polifax on Dorothy Gilman. I love her. We've read these books when we've been discouraged or gone through tough times, our family, and we just, I can't say enough good about mystery writers. Intelligent and courageous.
Thanks.
Absolutely. It sounds like you have a wide-ranging reading list. I like that. I think that some of the ones that you mentioned are definitely... speaking of Sharon McCone in particular, or some of the others that you mentioned, sound in a very similar vein, and I think is a more modern thing, in that people do have these kind of tough, gritty personas that you don't find in some of the older stories. And I think it, you know, they're also not perfect. You know, that's one of the mm-hmm. things I think that a lot of people, even though a lot of people grew up reading and loving Nancy Drew, there's also a whole subset of people that are irritated about her because she's perfect.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that a lot of the more modern writers have really reacted against, and that their characters have many dimensions, that they're not perfect, that, you know, maybe they lose their temper, maybe they've had some bad thing in their life. And that's a newer thing. You definitely don't find that in the older detective stories.
Do you think the authors have had any effect on the actual police work, or vice versa? Or is it just vice versa?
I would like to think that it has, and I think something that these authors and some of the television portrayals have done for police forces is made the image of a female officer more common in the public eye.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you watch television today, you would think that there is a female police officer in every station around the country, because that's sure what it looks like.
Yeah.
And that's not actually true. You know, there's only about 15% of homicide detectives are women in the United States. 13% of police officers are women. The numbers are pretty low. But I do think that these stories, these fictional portrayals do kind of naturalize it. That was one of the things that a lot of people didn't, in the early days when people were advocating to become police officers, women, a lot of the comment was, I can't even imagine a woman as an officer. What would that even look like? So there's actually a pretty funny picture that's in the book. I just love this picture. It's a woman who was a suffragette, and they did all of these poses of a woman dressed as a police officer in 1908 to basically say, you want to know what a woman dressed working as a police officer looks like? Well, here it is.
I love that photo.
Yeah, so she, in this one photo, there's several of them. Yeah. She's actually arresting this guy. She's pointing a gun at him and arresting him. And part of the reason they did it is because people were saying, like, I don't even know what that looks like. What does it look like to see a woman dressed as a police officer? And so, you know, I think that that's kind of a longstanding thing, that these television shows and books and fictional portrayals have gone a long way toward, you know, making it seem natural that we would expect to find a woman in a police department.
And I tell you, I turned on the other night Hawaii 5-0, the new version of that. And the woman, the female detective on that one, was blasting guys into oblivion just as much quickly as the males.
Absolutely. And that's definitely a newer thing, too. You know, you find a lot in some of the earlier stories of female detectives. They don't use a lot of force. But starting in about the 1970s, 1980s, you see women carrying guns and being just as tough and just as fierce as the male officers.
Oh, wow. Sam in Central Wisconsin. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm a big fan of the show. I just wanted to call in and two characters. I know it's a male author and a male main character, but the Harry Bosch series by Michael Connelly.
Yeah.
His partner in several of the books is Kismen Ryder, and she's a black female. And she's also lesbian, so that takes away, I think they try to take away any sexual, you know, so readers don't start to think, there might be something there. And then his lieutenant also is Lieutenant Billet, who is a female as well. And I think that kind of deals with the pressure. As he was writing this, there were a lot of problems in Los Angeles with both racial and sex. And I think that both those characters, and now it's portrayed on Amazon Prime on TV, the characters, I think they come off as amazing, amazing detectives. And I'll let you guys.
Thanks for those comments.
I haven't read those books or seen it. I've definitely heard about them, though. And I think his mention of the kind of the sexuality of one of the characters is, I think, something that's been interesting about detective fiction from the beginning. Is that a lot of the love interest is often not a big part of the detective story. And that was kind of a newer thing in novels, particularly novels written by women. There was kind of this domestic novel where, you know, the woman's whole goal was to get married and have children and have a family. And in these detective stories, you're reading stories where the female protagonist is using her brain to solve a case, and there might be a guy there, but he's not like the object of the story. And so I think there's a lot of different ways that different mystery writers throughout the years have kind of moved that romantic tension or romantic situation to the sidelines in these stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again, Sam. I'm thinking of Kinsey Millhone, who is, I think, divorced once, but then, you know, different male, you know, from time to time they come into the stories, but they're really not much.
Yeah, that's definitely been the case in a lot of the stories. You know, you find that spinster character and the girl detective, they start appearing as detectives in the 19th century. You know, I think, like, Nancy Drew's not the first girl detective, and Miss Marple is certainly not the first spinster detective. And part of the reason that these characters can become detectives is because they don't have these family attachments. The young girl is, you know, not old enough to get married yet, and so she has this time to solve cases. And the spinster is just considered beyond marriageable age. And so what else has she got to do but solve mysteries?
But that's, in a way, that's kind of a reality from back then. A lot of the female detectives, the real ones, were spinsters.
They were, absolutely. You definitely find options for women who didn't get married were kind of limited. I mean, they start opening up a little bit in the late 19th century and early 20th century. Yeah, there is this option for women of a certain age that they can become detectives. I think there's also some stereotypes about women of a certain age that makes them good detectives, you know, that they're nosy and gossipy. That's, you know, what certainly people say about Miss Marple, and that's also what makes her a really good detective. Because it's kind of the person that you never suspect, you know, the person who's gardening or birding or knitting, you know, they're not going to be collecting clues and putting any kind of case together, but it turns out they actually are.
And they do, and in real life to some extent too, then.
Absolutely. You do find that as the years go on and more women are actually entering the police force, actually it kind of switches, and that women in fiction still tend to be unmarried. They might be divorced, they might have a boyfriend, they might be whatever, but they don't tend to be married, whereas real female officers do tend to be married. And that's an interesting change from fiction and reality.
Sarah in Lake Zurich, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. And hi, Erica.
Hi.
Boy. Oh my God, this is like one of my favorite subjects. But I'd have to say that the Prime Suspect was my favorite female character. You know, Helen Mirren. I can't remember her name.
Jane Tennyson.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, that was just so gripping.
Absolutely. That was one of my favorites, too. And I feel like she's one of the first to kind of appear on television in the woman alone in a boys' club. That was kind of a newer role for women on television. And I think that show started in 1991. So I think that's become a more common thing for female detectives. But she really blazed a trail.
Yeah. Oh, just fascinating. Okay.
She's such a wonderful actress.
Oh, my God.
I would watch her in anything.
I know. I mean, I have to say, Eye in the Sky, I loved that movie. And I just wish more people would see it. And Alan Rickman. Oh, my God. Okay. Okay. But then, okay. So there's this series that I just think is just so lovely. It's, I don't know if you have heard of it, and I can't remember the name. Your producer was trying to look for it, but it's about this English, really old lady in a nursing home, and she starts a detective agency with her fiance in the nursing home and her niece, who was a cleaning lady and used to have her own detective agency, but she stopped that series.
Oh,
sorry,
my goodness. So this is a book?
It's a series of books.
Series of books.
The character's name is Ivy, and her niece's name is Lois, and and the author, your producer was looking, and she came up with Charlotte something, but I could swear Charlotte is the right name for the author. But anyway, I just wondered if you had ever heard of it.
I haven't, but it sounds fascinating. I love the idea of a detective in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Ivy Beasley.
Beasley.
Ivy Beasley. My Attery?
Mystery.
I'm sure Beasley is the right name. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Ivy Beasley Mystery. Oh, okay. Jill, hey. Jill, that was Jill. That was Jill's by Ann Purser.
Okay. Okay. Not Charlotte. Great. Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for the recommendation. I love it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Well, all right. Well, Ivy. Okay. I was just looking. There was a typo in the Ivy Beasley Mystery by Ann Purser. There we go. Sally and Hayward. Hi, Sally.
Yes, thank you so much, Larry. Along the subject of female detectives, Louise Penny's series. She's a Canadian author who I just love. I just finished How the Light Gets In, which is number 9. And all along, there is a female, young, married with children agent named Isabel Lacoste. And she's portrayed very well, very smart, right, really on the ball. And now in this book from 2013, she has been promoted to chief inspector.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've read some of those, and I, you know, there are a few. When I say that most, there are definitely some exceptions. There are some fictional female detectives that do somehow manage to be married, just like real women,
right.
And be detectives. And I do think that this is definitely a series that has managed to do that well and continues it. Because I think you find there's some series where the person will start out married, but like by book 3, they're divorced and are continuing. But I agree. The ones I've read, I haven't read all of them. I don't think I've read 9. I think I've read 6 of them. it's definitely... kept that storyline going, which is nice to see that it's more reflective of what a woman's life actually is.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Well, I just flashed on Fargo. and now there was a female detective who had a, you know, her husband was an artist and he's trying to win this stamp contest.
That's right.
And all of these talk about a portraying life.
Absolutely. There's actually, when you were saying that, I hadn't thought about Fargo, but there's actually a fictional series of books that are older, and the detective's name is Dorcas Dean. And she's actually a detective, and her husband is an artist, and she's kind of the breadwinner through her detecting. So there are definitely some exceptions to this, that women do manage to be married and supporting often husbands with creative outlets.
Oh, boy. Bill and Madison, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Well, I've been a mystery reader for a long time, and my wife, who was an English lit major, used to look down her nose at me. I dragged her to a talk by J.A. Jantz one day, and she had all the roadblocks thrown in front of her trying to become a writer that a lot of women face. Her husband got into a creative writing course for writers, but her professor didn't think a woman belonged in the course. She got back at the professor, by the way, making him a serial killer in a couple of her books. But then I started throwing Sarah Paretsky books at her, and all of a sudden she discovered that mysteries didn't necessarily have to be pulp. They could actually be literature.
So she became a mystery fan.
So she's still not as much as I am, but she looks at me every time there's a new Paretsky or Jantz out. And she hasn't followed me along with a lot of the rest of my authors that I like to read, and that's my escape fiction. But I've noticed, actually, that more of the women mystery writers do a more complicated storyline than a lot of the men do.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that I think there are men that are doing complicated storylines as well, but I think that a lot of the women have been working really hard to make, as we've been kind of talking about, the women look more like what women and what real life actually looks like, to make their characters relatable. And one of the things I would also say in relation to your wife starting to like mystery is that I think one of the great things about mystery is that the field is so wide. You know, there are...
Yeah.
Thousands of writers and stories. And so I feel like that you can basically find a mystery or a detective that suits you. You know, there's all these kind of more modern writers that are also harkening back to the older kind of Agatha Christie style. You know, if you think about like Maisie Dobbs, she was a World War II, I think, nurse, kind of like Cherry Ames, who became a detective. There's also Amelia Peabody, who, you know, the books were written in, I think, in the 80s, starting in the 80s. But, you know, she's in the late 19th century as an Egyptologist who's also a sleuth.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that if you have kind of these other interests, which I do, you know, I am super interested, obviously, in history. And so I really love mystery stories that do have kind of this historical element to them that kind of bring in a lot of other things besides just the murder or whatever is at hand.
Thanks again, Bill. Nancy in Milwaukee, give you a chance here. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning to you. I wanted to tell you about one of my favorite recent authors whose name is Alla Fair Burke. She is the daughter of an evidently a noted writer named James Burke, but I did not know that when I got acquainted with Alla Fair, the daughter. She writes, well, let me tell you first that she was once a prosecuting attorney herself, and now she teaches law at Hofstra University and writes these wonderful novels. And what I like about these novels is that there is enormously detailed information about trial protocol, about the very protocol of arresting someone and what evidence you have to even take that step. Her books are just wonderful. I feel after reading about six of them that I could go out and be a practicing attorney myself.
Oh, Nancy, that's wonderful.
That's a tremendous compliment to the writer.
That is a very good compliment to the writer. And I don't know Alla Fair Burke.
I don't either, but it sounds a lot, you know, I think you do find writers that are kind of drawing on their own experience that they put into their stories. You know, if you think about Patricia Cornwell, she, you know, had worked as a forensic pathologist, and her character, Dr. Kay Scarpetta, is also a forensic pathologist. Sorry, can't say that word. And if you think about, like...
going back to Agatha Christie.
Absolutely. People that have, they're bringing in their experience, their background. One of the most popular detective writers in the 19th century was a woman named Anna Catherine Green. And her father was a pretty prominent attorney in New York. And so she grew up basically surrounded by talk of law and police and courts. And so she brought all of that information into the detective stories that she wrote. And she was actually so convincing that there was a legislator in Pennsylvania who ruled that the books couldn't actually have been written by her because she knew the details of court proceedings too well. But she had just been, you know, brought in the experience of her father's law experience and everything she'd heard as a kid.
Oh. Well, how's the book doing, by the way? It's been out a couple weeks.
It's been out about 2 weeks now, and I think it's been doing pretty well. I've done lots of talks and heard from a lot of really interested people, and so it's been a lot of fun to talk about and get book recommendations, frankly. You're all helping me get what other things I need to read or go back to, because this is something, you know, that I've been reading for as long as I can remember and watching a lot as well. I actually probably watch a lot more stuff than I read in some cases, particularly some of the hard-boiled stuff. I have a harder time reading it. For some reason, I can watch it on TV, but it's harder for me to handle in book form.
Well, and then you're on your way, well, you're doing a book tour, and then you're going to be out the East Coast, are you not, for a conference?
That's right. I'm going to be at a mystery conference in Connecticut in the fall, and a lot of the writers that I actually have in the book are going to be there, people like Laura Lippman and Laurie King. So hopefully they'll be okay with what I put about them in my book.
And, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about, which has been a lot of fun, talking about the authors and such, but a big chunk of the book is about the actual detectives, which we haven't covered a lot of, but I mean, there's some amazing people, amazing women in those books, in your book.
Absolutely. You know, I really found some fantastic women who, you know, joining the police force was a tough road. And so a lot of the women that did manage to get in have kind of big personalities and a lot of character.
You're a character, too. Thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you.
It's always fun to talk with you, and you'll be back.
I'm sure.
We'll talk again. Erica Janik, award-winning author, and her latest is called Pistols and Petticoats, 175 Years of Lady Detectives in Fact and Fiction, and it's published by Beacon Press. So... take a look. You're going to enjoy it. I'm pretty sure of that. Oh, man. We have other shows, another show coming up here, another topic coming up, though. And that topic relates to stroke and stroke awareness. So we'll be visiting with Dr. Luke Bradbury and Chris Welly next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.